Live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Chicago, Lucas Hickson, who is a computer specialist with Compass North in Chicago. Good evening, Lucas. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight, Cheryl?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much. Whenever I have a computer question, I go to you. Technology and I don't necessarily get along, but you somehow managed to help me understand things. I had run across an article in a Detroit newspaper about cloud computing, and of course, that sounded science fiction to me. So I wanted to understand what it was. The article specifically was talking about a company called CompuWare that was making some money, some new revenue for them from cloud computing. Why don't you tell myself, I know a little more about it now, but my listeners, what cloud computing is.
Well, perfect. I think that's a great point to start. Generically, in the most basic definition, cloud computing is a way to increase the capacities or capabilities without having to add new hardware. So these services, your memory, you wouldn't necessarily have to store information on a hard disk on your computer. You could store it on the actual internet and access that data from any information at any device that you need to get it from. Okay. However, that does provide a couple interesting problems as well, because I'm sure anybody that pays a cell phone bill that has internet access on their cell phone can tell you bandwidth is more expensive than memory, going out and buying a new hard drive for your computer. But that's one of the problems that you have with the cloud computing, is that if you're no longer storing data on your computer, if you're no longer getting new hard drives, you instead have to pay for the bandwidth and the storage space on the internet to be able to store your information.
So we're storing the same information. We're storing it in a different location and at a different source.
Exactly. So what everyone would have to do in advanced cloud computing, when you're actually looking at it, is you would store your system and data files online on what's called the cloud, and then you would access the information through your ISP, like we do with the internet right now. The difference is that right now, with a computer with a hard drive, if I feel like my information is insecure, I can turn off my computer. I can unplug the cord to the internet. But if your information is on the internet, how do you turn it off when you feel that it's in danger?
Aha. Uh-huh. And the answer to that is?
You can't. Now, there's a couple other problems that you have yet to work out with it. What they're trying to do is they're trying to provide a way to access your information to be able to, everybody would grow off of everyone else's information. So the data that I put into the cloud, you would be able to access, and you'd be able to see my knowledge or my notes and hopefully, you know, learn a couple of things from it. But it's really taking some very big risks right off the beginning, some big assumptions. Number one, the fact that everyone has the same access to the internet in the world, and that's not true. To be able to access this information, no matter where you're at, you have to have a constant connection, and it has to be a strong connection because you're streaming this content off of the internet. And that content might come from several different sources. One of the pros to doing cloud computing is the fact that you don't have to worry about data loss. Data can be backed up on multiple servers and on multiple sites and can allow that data to be accessed even if you accidentally were to delete the wrong files. But so the problem that you're... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nope. I was just going to say, so okay, we've listed a pro, and where do we go from here?
Well, I think that the way that we need to go is actually the exact opposite of cloud computing. To put it in perspective, the fact that we see Microsoft and Apple promoting cloud computing is as if we were to see GM go out and start promoting itself as a retail car company. It's really the exact opposite of everything that we've worked for the past 10 years, but it's more financially beneficial for the programmers. Programmers were not making as much money as they were 20 years ago when Microsoft was first starting up. And so a lot of people were finding information and programs online. Well, now with apps and other such cloud networking programs, programmers are making a lot of money by designing a simple app, and people will pay $2 or $3 for it as opposed to $40 or $50 for the software.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. One of the other things that I think that we can do is keep our information on our own systems. And we were talking last time that I was on about artificial and automated intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that we can make this more efficient and actually do the same exact tools with our own computers is if our computers kept track of our information only. So rather than using a cloud network, your own computer was your own network. Your computer would then present other information based off of previous information that you'd put into the computer, which is just like a Google search engine. When you type in the search tools, it adds the different tag words that pop up as you type that are suggestions of what you might be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type of interactivity, but much more secure. It's on your own local network. It's not hosted on a third party that you hope is not using your information in the wrong way.
Well, and two quick things occurred to me. One, so the apps that are on like my Droid phone or something, those are a form of cloud computing?
It is. And you are trusting those programmers to do the right thing with your information. And some of the problems that we find is that programmers will create an application with the intention of collecting and harvesting information rather than putting out a good application for people to use. And if you accept the permissions for that, when you download the application, once they have your information, they can do what they like with it according to their agreement when you download the app.
And, of course, everyone's so excited to download a fun or cool app.
You're not going to.
Yeah, you simply check the I agree.
You don't have the reliability of having a company putting their name behind it either. You're, again, relying on this developer's word that they're doing the right thing with that information.
Now, we talked about the pro that there's no data loss. There's kind of a dark side to this, and is that the shared information and the fact that that information is simply out there and then can be gathered?
Exactly right. And when it's traveling between the cloud and your network, it's also unencrypted. Which, again, you're trusting a lot of the internet service providers, the application developers, people who today, in today's day and age, and even a couple years ago, a lot of internet-driven employees and workers didn't really trust those people because, you know, we've all heard about Google and Facebook and their problems with harvesting information and selling it to companies. And so when you expand that to cell phones, applications, tabs, the new Google computer that's completely cloud-oriented. I mean, there's some questions that a lot of developers have about the security of the information as well as your ability to access it and not have and be able to shut it down when you need to, when you feel threatened.
Well, and when you and I had just a few minutes to talk a couple of days ago about this, I said it reminded me of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when you talked about information from one place. They were dealing with the television and the particles went through the air and then reassembled again. But that's like my form of what we're talking about.
I have a really good example of what has happened. Now, okay. What the problem is, if you have the internet and all of your information on the cloud, what happens when the government decides that some information is not good enough for you or not good for you? You're trusting the government and outside forces to affect what information is on the internet. In July of 2009, Amazon was caught deleting e-books off of Kindles.
I saw that.
The text that they deleted were George Orwell's Animal Farm and 1984, both of which are very popular books that are taught in high schools. I remember reading 1984 in my high school class.
Sure.
Now, how much information can be lost in the cloud, and what would you do about it? If the government or your ISP, internet service provider, decides that your information is not good enough for the general community and decides to take away your right of free speech and delete your internet content?
It couldn't have been an accident that 1984 was one of those that was done. Well,
it definitely raises some questions.
It certainly does. Did I hear your son chiming in? Did I hear your son making some noise earlier?
He wanted to get in his 2 cents as well. He shares a lot of his father's thoughts.
There you go. I appreciate I'll take 2 guests for the price of one. Thank you, Lucas, so much as always. Thought-provoking, certainly. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Have a great night.
You as well. Lucas Hickson, a computer specialist with Compass North in Chicago. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.